Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We are so glad that you are joining us today. For today's podcast and our journey to the Book of Romans in our Nothing Will series, today's teaching is entitled Family Sorrows. Prepare your hearts for an encouraging and powerful message from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
And how he loved me so much, and I don't care about nothing else but Jesus now, you know? And it's something about having a desire for someone and they don't have it like you do, and trying to convey that desire so they would get it, explain how they need to get it. And that's something that we need to grab. You can't explain how they need to get it. That's his job. We can only be witnesses for Jesus, or we can only be a sign saying, look, it's good, but go get some. So when you go to that restaurant, in order for you to convey to me how good that steak was, you will have to point me to the restaurant. And then you will have to make sure that same cook is there, because you know that it's a difference. You know it's a difference. So when something tastes good, you be like, yo, tell that cook to come on up out there. Let me see this dude's face, man. What's your name? Oh, I love you. Put a little something in his hand. God bless you. Develop a relationship, right? What's your schedule? Amen. When you go, oh, you hear Saturday night, praise the Lord. Amen. I love you. God bless you, right? So you can explain this to others. So you, when someone asks you, man, you know what a good steak in town? Yeah, I know. Over there, go. Make sure you go on this day because that certain cook, he there and he make it the same way every single time, right? He like clockwork, right? Amen. So when we are, and we have our relationships and we have people in our lives that we love and we cherish, and they might not see it like you, amen. And it's nothing you can say to convince them otherwise. They will have to taste. You are wasting a lot of time and a lot of frustration. You might as well stop trying to convey to them what you understand, amen. Because you will be more frustrated, more irritated, the more and more you try, amen. And we can only be so much for people. We are signs and witnesses. We are not the truth. We are not the way. We are not God. Amen? That's his job. When we move into the category of his job, that's when it becomes frustrating in our relationship, right? It becomes very frustrating. All right, let's go to another scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. First John chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised that the world hates you. All right? This is so important, you all, that you grab this understanding. They not gonna like you all the time because you got Jesus, amen, and you excited about him, amen. They are not gonna agree with you a lot of times until they grab the understanding themselves, amen, until this become alive within them. All right? So don't be surprised that people hate you. And depending on who around you when you get saved, this could mean that those that are close to you could start hating you. Not in a hate that we think just despise you, but they'll start saying statements or not seeing things your way. Amen? your perspective has been changed. Theirs haven't been. You have to understand that. All right? So they're not going to relate to you in this way that you are excited about. So don't be surprised when they hate you. This is a good thing. I mean, we be thinking sometimes that, you know, this is a bad thing, but this is really a good thing, you all. This is really a good sign that something has happened to you. When you say statements and people disagree with you, according to Jesus, and they started to despise you because of the statements in this life that you have, that's a good sign. Why? They hated Jesus. And he never did anything wrong. Listen, this dude was perfect, man. They still hated Jesus. So you might have some enemies out there or people that's close to you that might start turning against you and might not see things your way no more because of this change that's on the inside of you that has transpired because of your transformation. Amen. 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Whoever does not love abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Man, that's deep. Come on now. Whoever hates his brother, the Bible call you a murderer. I'm a murderer? Oh, I ain't killed nobody. But what if it's a biblical hate? Or it's a definition in the Bible that's according to Scripture, and it might not be according to your understanding or Webster's understanding of what hate is. Amen? So the Bible says that you're a murderer if you hate your brother. All right? And this is what happened when I got saved. Jesus put a love in my heart for people. The Bible says when you come from death unto life, you love the brethren. All right? So everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life. All believers should naturally want others to come to Jesus. This desire can be more emphatically displayed towards our family members. Yeah. And see, as we look at Paul's life, Paul had a strong desire for his family or those that was of his heritage, the Jews. Yes. All right? And this also happened in our lives. We want our family to be saved, right? Especially those that are close to us, all right? But let's look at it from Paul's perspective. Acts chapter 9, verse 13 through 15. And this is the beginning of Paul's life, which he was Saul first when he was persecuting the church. And so then Ananias in verse 13, he says, Acts chapter 9, verse 13 through 19. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. How much he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Amen. Sometimes we don't equate suffering to his name's sake. And there is a suffering that all Christians must go through. And sometimes it's not preached at the beginning, you know, when it's time for you to get saved. But Jesus said, you must count up the cost. You must count up, what is this going to cost me to be saved? And there is a suffering that Christians go through. Yes. Amen. For his name's sake. And that suffering sometimes is not conveyed enough. That they're not going to like you. They're not going to like you anyway. Amen. Let it be for Jesus, though. Yeah. You might as well just go ahead and be happy that they don't like you because of Jesus. Now, if it was because of me, I'd be depressed. And I'd be in a corner, frustrated, and why they don't like me, Lord? Now, and the Bible says they don't like you not because you're not a good person. And see, we don't need to take it personal. Because people don't like us, especially our family, especially those that are close to us. We don't need to take it personal. Your value is not wrapped up in what they think about you. Amen. Let me say that again. your value is not wrapped up in what your family or your close loved ones think about you. Your value is in what Jesus done for you on the cross, what the scriptures say about you, how God see you now, not how they see you. Not how they see you. So the suffering that we go through is, little things, man, that might not see your way, amen? And we have to understand it's not about you. It's the suffering that Paul went through. It wasn't about Paul. It was because of Jesus and his name that he carried. Yeah. Amen? And you might as well suffer that one on out. Go ahead, take that one for Jesus. Amen? Because great is your reward in heaven. Jesus said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Just like they persecuted the prophets, just like they persecuted everybody before me, so will they persecute you. And Jesus said, don't have a pity party. Talk about why they don't like me. No, he said, rejoice. For great is your reward in heaven. This is the master. So you might as well go and have a dance party. Woo, glory, they don't like me. For his sake. Go and get happy. Why? Because Jesus said these things. He the one told me to rejoice. He the one told me that great is my reward in heaven, so I believe it. Amen. So, as we see Paul here, he was called to a certain group of people, and we must understand this. Listen to this. This is so powerful. Paul was called to a certain group of people. He said, the Gentiles, kings, and then the children of Israel. All right? Let's go to Acts chapter 13, verse 44. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. On the next Sabbath, most of the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting, blaspheming. They opposed the thing by Paul. Now, this is his people, man. The Jews was his people. All right? It was necessary the word of God should be spoken to you. This is Paul. Responds in 46. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorify the word of the Lord. And as many as he had been appointed to eternal life, believe. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Now, let me get, for those that don't understand the terminology, Gentiles is anyone that's not a Jew. All right? Gentiles is anyone that's not a Jew. So if you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. Amen? Most of us probably in this room are Gentiles, amen? So Paul was called, he would preach to his people or his family members or his heritage, and they rejected it, all right? So he went to somebody else. He went to another group of people he was called to, which was Gentiles, someone that's not of his family. And you might be called to someone else. You might not lead your sister to the Lord. You might not see it. You know, see them saved. You might not lead your cousin, your uncle, or whoever, family member to the Lord. You might be called to someone else. And more than likely, you are. Everyone I led to the Lord was somebody else's family. The ones that listened to me was somebody else's family. Somebody's daughter, somebody's son. I done seen two Muslims come to the Lord. All right? And it took years of living in front of them. We picked up a female one time, me and my wife. And she wanted a ride. And we started preaching to her about Jesus. Lo and behold, she was wanting to get dropped off at the crack house. She called me one day, geeking. That means in the middle of a high. All right? And I told her, go over to the house. And I'm at work. I said, go over to the house. In my living room, She got free. From crack, she got free. Boo-hoo and crying. Sober right on up because the glory of God. That's why I prayed it now. See, they come in, you come in where I pray it all the time, man. You finna get, because God is there. I know he there. Amen. But that was somebody else's daughter. It wasn't my sister. It wasn't my family member. Amen. All right. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. And this is what we can break down, and we'll see that this is family sorrows we're talking about. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. To further illustrate this subject today in today's message, just as Paul was called to his brothers and sisters, the Jews, this is so important. It's just as if everybody you talk to of your race, now we have black African race here, most of us is, amen. What if everybody you talk to of your race rejected this message about Jesus, and everybody you talk to that was not of your race had ears to hear? This is what happened with Paul. His whole race rejected him. And those that wasn't like him received it. What if you are called to those that are not like you? What if you are called to those that wasn't, that didn't grow up in your hood, don't have your slang, don't have your swagger? But every time you speak, they get saved. And those that's of your family reject you. Amen? This is what Paul went through. His whole race rejected him. Not just his family, not just his group. All right? Some got saved. Amen? But what if God called you to another race? Would you answer that call? As Paul did. This is so powerful.
Yes, it is.
All right? This is called family sorrows. That means those that you want to get it don't get it in your eyes through you. Amen? And he came to his own received him not. Let's go to Acts chapter 18, verse 5 through 16. When Paul and Silas had come to Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. See, he's still preaching at the Jews. He's still not giving up. But when they opposed him, they blasphemed. He shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own hand. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." All right? This is so powerful that we grab this. Mark chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Why is it that they don't see it? Why is it that they don't understand? Why they can't grab what you see? All right, have you ever asked these questions? You're trying to convince this person, not just about Jesus, but just about any subject that you're passionate about. Why they don't understand? Why they don't get it like you? Mark chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. And he said unto them, listen to this, what Jesus said. And he said unto them, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." You know, everybody that has ears, they can't hear. This is so powerful. Then he said in verse 10, "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. He said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven.'" All right? Do you know there are still people today that only hear in parables? It's not given to them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but it's given to you. Do you know it's people that have ears and they still ain't going to understand? They still ain't going to hear what you're talking about. They got eyes just like you and still ain't going to perceive what you see. Amen? But he said, to you has been given. To you has been given, not to them. Amen? And then as we see the behavior of the disciples, how do you know if you're in this group? How do you know if you're in this group of those that only hear parables? What I mean by parables is they still got to think about it a long time. It's not explained to them. And we got to understand as we see the behavior of the disciples, they got everything explained to them. But to the people, it was only said in parables. Least they repent and be forgiven. Don't we want them to repent? Jesus don't want them to repent if they don't want it. Only disciples got explanation of the parables. Because you see, as they go back, if we look at this verse, we see how the behavior of disciples. They said, why is everything in a parable? Everybody don't ask questions like that. Everybody don't ask questions wanting to know. But you are. You have enough sense to ask Jesus, what do this mean, Lord? What if only thing, the only ones who ask is the only ones who get the explanation? All right? The disciples always ask Jesus, what do this parable mean? And he would go and explain what the seed and the sower and the parable of the seed and the sower. Amen? They got explanation, and we get a glimpse of what that parable meant. But if the disciples never asked, we would never see the explanation of Jesus. The sower sows the word. The seed is the word. And where that revelation comes from? Because disciples inquired, and they wanted to know. Everybody's not inquiring. Amen? Only those who want to know. That's why you know what you know, because there is an interest in you in the master. Amen? And everybody else hearing in parables. And we have to understand this. I would ask this question myself. Why ain't nobody going out witnessing with me? I would go out by myself. Why would nobody go out witnessing? Well, Jasper, Jesus did what Jesus said. I would, you know, this stuff get frustrating because you want people to see as you see. And you wonder, why they not like me? Why people not passionate about Jesus? Why nobody love the Lord like this? And Jesus, he showed a picture of me in my prayer closet. Lord, give me your desires, Lord. Everybody not asking that question. Everybody not seeking to know how you see people, Lord. Lord, show me how you see people, Lord. Teach me how to love like you, Lord God. Teach me how to love them folks at work, Lord. Everybody don't ask those type of questions. So explanation don't come. Amen. But it's coming to you. You're getting free. Gee, you're growing in the Lord. Why is that? Because you want it. Jesus will never reveal to somebody that don't want it. At least they be forgiven, and now they just, oh, man, I'm forgiven. And not asked. Amen. So this is why they don't understand. This is why they probably don't see it from your perspective. They don't want it like you want it. Maybe somebody else need to come and talk to them about that. Amen? All right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 9. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone, then Jesus said, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Amen. Let me read this in the Message Amplified Bible. And this is something the Lord just gave me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Keep on asking, and it will be given. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. And he who keeps on seeking, to him who seeks, or who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. Amen. So as Christians, and as we all come together with this understanding, just know Jesus would not explain to you if you don't ask. Jesus would not give you more revelation unless you seek it. That means ask today, Lord, teach me. And a lot of things we ask, the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And then verse 8 says something remarkable. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. You know, we should ask Jesus about bearing fruit more so than about a car. Do you know we should ask, what I mean by bearing fruit? Lord, help me in my character to look like you. Because I just want to punch dude in the mouth. All right, when he say this, I just get mad, Lord. And the only thing I know is my flesh, Lord God. Or, Lord, this habit is bugging me. This addiction is bugging me. Teach me how to stop, Lord. What about that question? Instead of just going off your own wisdom and your own strength and your own might to try to stop, I know I can do it. I know I can do it. And I think I can. I think I can. Just ask him. Maybe we just need to ask him. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Help me see it from your perspective, Lord. Amen. We do that just in life. Seventh grade, dance. Why did I like her? We look back at pictures and stuff and old yearbooks. Why did I like that, man? You know, what possessed me to run after that then? You know, Jesus can change your perspective and give you an image of why you're running after something now. And you're like, what am I doing? We have to ask, and we have to seek, and we have to knock. Amen? So we have to trust God with our family members. And this is the best advice I'm going to give you in closing. How many of y'all know the best advice that I'm going to give you? I'm going to give it to you. Y'all ready for it? This is the best advice. It's going to shock your world. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 37 through 38. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This is the best advice in how I got family members saved and how I help people. And it helped me to be not frustrated. It's just to leave people alone. For though, I'm telling you, this is the best advice, and it's love, too. If people don't see it from your perspective, it's not your job to convince them. And you have to just leave them alone and love them. That's the best, I'm telling you, that's the best advice that you can receive in your hard relationships with people. And when I have left people alone and didn't care if they got it or not, because I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the Holy Spirit. All right? The Holy Spirit, when I have gotten great revelation, it's been from God. Even though I might speak and you might understand when I speak, it's still from God. It's not from me. The Holy Spirit is the one enlightening your understanding. The Holy Spirit is the one that's giving you life on the inside. He the one quickens your mortal body. All right? And the best thing I have ever done is to stop trying to convince people. And Paul, he had to do the Jews the same way. He said, I finally wiped my hands clean of this. I'm done trying to convince y'all. I'm going to the Gentiles. And this is what you should be focusing on. Who has God called you to? He might not have called you to your family members. You might not see all of them fall out in the Holy Ghost on Thanksgiving Day. Amen? But he has called you to somebody. Somebody else, daughter. Somebody else, son. Amen? And they got ears to hear. What does that mean? They listening to every word you say. They're open to your advice. These are the ones that you're called to. What are you doing with that ear? What are you doing with those that in your life and they're listening to you? Who cares who might not see? God has called you to a certain group of people. Who cares who don't see that's in your family or your race? Amen? Be faithful with the little. Be faithful with who God called you to. And be sure to take responsibility of who God called you to. Amen? Own it. He sent you that person for a reason. You have something to express to them. Everybody's not listening to you like this. This is so powerful. Cherish who God has called you to. We be frustrated a lot of times because it's not my loved one. It's not my husband. It's not my wife. He just need to get it. She just need to get it. They just don't understand. And they never will from you. They never will. You might as well come to that conclusion within yourself. You might as well wash your hands clean of this and just love them. And just love them. And just love them. And then God will send a laborer. See, as long as we think we got to do it and we got to show them, we got to convince them, the laborer is not coming to them. Because the Bible says the harvest is truly plentiful, just what Jesus said, but the laborers are few. But pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers. Because they're not listening to you, but they'll listen to somebody. Amen. And these are the family sorrows that Paul went through, and we go through the same ones today. Amen. But if this one I got free is when I said I didn't care if they ever got saved. Lord, that's your problem. It's not mine. Why is it so frustrating? Because it's my problem. I have not cast this care upon the Lord, and it's still in my hands, and I'm still trying to work it and still trying to do it. And that's why it's frustrating, because it's not working. Amen? So don't care about it working or not. Don't care if they ever get it. Amen? God loves them. Amen? And you can tell your, this is so good. I'm going to give you this one little tidbit. Y'all want another one? You don't have to say yes to everything. You know what? It's Jesus to say no to the family members. They keep looking to you. Now, this is a perverted looking to me. It's every time they get in trouble, they call me. All right? And this is what Jesus has taught me. Just like you called me, you can call on God. I am not the Messiah. I am not the way maker. All right? And I must, this is, I know you don't think this is love, but this is love. Get on your knees and go ask Jesus. Amen? Get on your knees. What? Oh, but mama, but daddy, but you supposed to. No, no, no. I'm supposed to prepare you for life. And this is what I do. And people just think you got it, but they don't know how long I've been on my knees asking Jesus to help me. They don't know how I sought the Lord for that bill. I sought the Lord to come through for me. And you want me to come through for you all the time. This is a great, sound advice. I love my family members, and I love them. So this is love. I'm training them how God is, because, and then if I tell them no, here come they manipulation story. But you're supposed to be a Christian. I am a Christian, and it's still no. All right? And I'm not being, it's not mean to say no. It's the reality. You are not God. You can't come through for everybody. You can't be yes to everybody. That's not your job. That's his job. His promises are yes and amen. Amen? I only do what I said I was going to do. Now, I do keep my word. Amen. But I have to tell people no. Sometimes, and sometimes we be blessings. Don't get it twisted. We do be a blessing to people, amen. And we do give. But this is what I find more people have to be frustrated with is the family members are always sucking and trying to pull, and those ones that are trying to just siphon all your resources. Amen. And drain you. And why do you feel so drained after you get in contact with them? Because they're pulling the life out of you. They really are. And this is what they're supposed to be doing with God. This is what you do. This is what I do. When the depression and that anxiety hit me and that extra bill come that month and the car broke down, I get on my knees and call on my God. I have family members, they're of the Muslim persuasion. They call and ask for money. I said, man, look, I love you. You trust your God, I trust mine. Amen. Well, who you say you serve? Mine always come through. He ain't never let me down. And he gonna continue to come through. Amen. I advise you to go trust yours. But if you want a God that ain't gonna never let you down, come on over. Amen. Come on over. And it's love. Don't get me wrong. Listen, I love people, but that's love. Amen. That's love. To love our family in this way. And to love those that's of our race. Also. Amen. So, in closing, we all got family. We all got people that's in our lives that we are called to. Amen. And as we continue in the faith, and as we grow in the Lord, and grow in understanding, and grow in our, you know, how to treat people, how to really love people, amen, we're going to pray for them today, like the Bible says. The Bible says pray for laborers. We're going to pray that God sends somebody to them. And you just go ahead and throw your hands, wash your hands clean of this situation. Amen. Wash your hands clean. No more convincing. No more trying to talk. No more trying to convince them and argue with them and show them where it's at in the scripture. No more of that. Just leave them alone. Keep loving them, but leave them alone. You know it's okay. We're not being mean, but we leaving them alone concerning this matter.
Yeah. Right. Come on now.
Concerning this matter. Yeah. Concerning why you're frustrated. And this is what frees you. This is what frees you because now it's not your job. It's not your care. You don't care. Amen. God has called us to be carefree. God has called us to be free from the cares that come to you in your life. He's called us to this. And today we're going to release them cares today. We're going to release them people and the concern of them ever getting it. The concern of them ever understanding it. And this is God helping you. Amen. When I've done this, ain't nothing more freer. When I've done this, ain't nothing more liberating because now I don't have to be the one. You think because you know you got to convince them. No, you don't have to be. Amen. When we do this, God really start moving. When I stopped caring about my wife and she was doing this and doing that, doing this, I stopped caring. Then God dealt with that. God got on her. Just like when she stopped caring about me, God would correct me on the things that she cared about. But when she stopped caring, God got me. He said, do this. Go do that for your wife. Go do this. And as long as I was frustrated trying to make her see it, God didn't do nothing. But when I let that thing go and say, oh, well, I just love you, girl. I don't care.
Come on.
Amen. It free up your relationships and give God room to work. Amen. It give God room to work. And stuff get fixed without you having to cuss nobody out. Things just happen.
Yeah.
without you have to, I'm the man and you got to submit to me. You don't even have to do all that. Amen. When we love and when we lose our care concerning if they ever going to change. Amen. So how many of y'all ready to release? I know all of us. Everybody raised their hand. Everybody. Because this is something that the enemy gets everybody with. Amen. And go get the kids, baby. Go get the kids. We're going to pray over the kids today, and we're going to pray over your family members. Amen. We're going to release them and let them go and then wash our hands clean concerning our husbands, concerning our spouses, concerning our cousins, our mama. Amen. Sisters. Ooh, sister and brother Fruits. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, the Lord corrected me. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for you, sis. I got to release somebody, too. I got, you know, amen. And it's not just unforgiveness. It's the care of they ever seeing it from your perspective. So we're casting cares today. We're casting the care of them ever getting it. We're casting it on the Lord. All right? We're going to cast it on the Lord.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If God has impacted your life through our church, please let us know because we want to hear about it. Email us at amen@r4sq.org. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week and God bless.